Good morning.
Good morning.
We're sure glad you're here. It's sort of a dreary day, but it's always a good day whenever we're able to get together and worship the Lord. Over the past few weeks, I have enjoyed preparing the messages about personal worship. It's a subject that we all have need of improvement, and we can all be encouraged for profit from encouragement. Though our own personal worship is fundamental, it's key in our spiritual development, and most of us know that, but we still sometimes get carried away in our life and become neglectful of our daily worship. We spent a couple of weeks talking about prayer, and then we talked about meditation, and last week we talked about fasting as part of our worship. And we saw from that lesson that fasting is not a command. It's something that we do as part of our relationship with Christ. It is something that God expects us to do, though He doesn't command it because it's just so obvious. Fasting is not just a ritual that we go through. It's not a meritorious work. It is an expression of a humbled heart, how we humble ourselves before God. And it's a practice of self-denial. It's done in many different ways and for different lengths of time or periods. And it's something that the prophet Joel told us that we should rend our heart and not our garments. He's talking about fasting, and he says we afflict our soul and not just our body. It's not something that we do in public. It's something that we do privately. Something is just between us and God, unless we're doing it as a group activity. The people in Acts in Antioch fasted as a group, and others also. Prayer and fasting. We always have prayer when we fast, but we can have prayer without fasting. But this week, we want to traverse four broad lanes of study. First, we want to look at the reading of the scripture in private worship. It is different than any other kind of reading of the scriptures. Daily worship is a way that we express our heart to God. We want to see that God wants to meet us where we are. And then we'll close with looking at why we should have a Bible reading as part of our daily worship. So we want to start and see that the scripture, reading the scriptures in our own personal worship, is a lot different than reading in other settings. It's different from our daily Bible reading. We all have times when we read the scriptures, and that scripture reading is something we do just for ourselves. We want to build ourselves up in the faith and be stronger. And so the way that we organize our daily Bible study is not the way we would organize our worship. We generally do our reading straight through the scriptures or in large sections of the scriptures, and we don't do that in our personal study. It's different than when we have Bible studies. You know, Bible study is different than Bible reading. We study the scriptures to build ourselves up in the faith. It's something that we do in a fixed pattern, but it's not for the reason of worship. It's for the reason of developing ourselves. Peter admonished us. He says to be like newborn babies, desiring the sincere milk of the word, that we should grow thereby. So we read the Bible And we study the Bible, but that's not like having the Bible read in our personal worship. We read the Bible in the assembly because generally the Bible reading, the section, is relevant to the lesson that we will be having. It's the text for our sermon. And the reading of the scriptures in our private worship is not for that purpose, because we're not going to have a sermon in our private Bible study. It's for our own meditation. Infants in Christ often use recorded sermons, and some people just read a little page out of a devotional book, and that's something to be discouraged in our personal worship. There's a lot of podcasts around today, and it's become popular to just listen to a podcast. Well, listening to a podcast is fine. I listen to sermons every day. That's just part of my routine. I get around and I don't have any one person I listen to. I just generally poke around, and whatever's on my mind that day, I look for a sermon that is on that particular topic. But it's not inherently wrong to listen to a podcast. It's not inherently wrong to read from a book. You do whatever you can do, but it's problematic in three ways. It makes the worshiper a passive participant. You somewhat become an audience member instead of a worshiper. And it takes away our opportunity for the growth that we get in our relationship with God. Then it becomes just an act that we perform rather than a dialogue with God. So I guess what I'm saying is you start where you are, but make sure that you are progressing from milk to meat, that we are using every opportunity to grow. Daily worship, more than public worship even, is an expression of our heart to God. Relationships don't just happen. They're built one interaction at a time. When we develop the ability to have this time with God, the first step is we make a commitment that we're going to do it. And then we follow up with that commitment and convert it into action. And then we keep that action going to the point that it becomes part of our habit of life. It becomes part of our lifestyle. And daily worship is the first step from converting that commitment into action. It's in private worship that we learn how to talk with God. I don't know about you, but I can remember back when I was dating, it was very difficult for me to talk to girls. And I played a lot of sports, and I wore a big letter sweater, and so the girls would come talk to me. And I didn't have to try to talk to the girls. But you know, when you start the dating process, it's just you and her, and you're alone. And you have to learn how to communicate. And that's the way it is with daily worship. When it's just you and God, you know, you here in this assembly, and it's important that you be here, and it serves a good purpose, and that's why God ordained it and requires it. But you draw much closer, much faster. You develop this essence of relationship with God. So many times Christians believe there is a God, and they believe that Jesus is God's Son, but they don't really feel a relationship with Him. And so we tend to spend time with God each day, and that is essential to our development as a Christian. New Christians often don't like to speak in the assembly and come in, and often they'll be sitting at the back or just don't want to be interacting a lot. And they don't learn how to verbalize spiritual things at first. But after you've been at it a while and you've practiced in your home and then your own worship, if you worship out loud, I got a soundproof office. I get in there and shut the door and there's only one disturbance that gets past the door. And I never tell her no. But I had an uncle, she was married to my father's sister, and Archie was a very shy man. I heard stories about when they were dating that he would come to her house and sit down and take out the newspaper and read the newspaper, and after a while he'd say goodbye and leave. And that was a date. And he was just real shy. But after he retired, he'd be in the house all by himself, and Aunt Elizabeth was working. He bought himself a guitar and a tape recorder, and he began learning how to play the guitar. And he got real good at it. Of course, if you learn how to play the guitar, they always tell you to sing along while you're strumming the song. And so he started singing with his playing. And no one would have ever known he was doing that because he was home all alone and he would not even let my aunt know that he owned a guitar. But she was down there cleaning his den out and she found these tapes that he had made of himself singing and playing the guitar. And at first she didn't even know who it was. She didn't even suspect it was him. And long story short, after a while, he got to where when someone would ask him, he would get that guitar out and play a song. And it was a way of developing. And you know, it's that way with personal worship. When we get used to this interaction with God, when it's all by ourselves, it's easy for us to verbalize the way we feel and talk about spiritual things with God that we would not dream about talking like that when we start in public. But after a while, we do. And that's the way we develop in our spiritual relationship. Our comfort zone just gradually expands and expands until we're comfortable talking not only to God, but we're comfortable talking about spiritual things, about God with other people. I read some years back, and stuck with me. This writer was sort of poetical, and he said that personal worship is God working in us. We all have the Spirit of God within us if we are a Christian. And that Spirit of God within us, as we saw in our text, aids us in our relationship building with God. And it's sort of cyclical. The more we do it, the more comfortable we get. And the more comfortable we get, the more we do it. And it just keeps going on and becomes a thing that we really profit from. And third, we want to see that God wants to meet with us where we are. We're all familiar with Matthew chapter 18 when he talks about how that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And he's talking about discipline matters. And he says, before he left the earth, Jesus said, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. And so he didn't say, I'm with you except when you worship. When we're having a worship in our home, we may not be three, but God is there with us. So he meets us where we are, and he has our undivided attention. You know, when we get in the assembly, and as I said, the assembly is essential. But when we get in the assembly, there are a lot of distractions. We have encouragement from it. and we're reminded about our need for Christ, our struggle with sin, and we're reminded about what our sin cost us when we do the communion. But as we're doing it, there are sights and sounds around us, and we sometimes get to watching somebody, even in our COVID circumstances, people go walking by and you notice the person. You're supposed to be thinking about the remembrance, and we sometimes have technical glitches and we get distracted because the screen won't work right or there's static on the line. But in personal worship, we can control almost all of the distractions around us. So we have this one-on-one time with God that isn't interrupted. In private worship, there isn't any kind of social pressure. You know, we don't have to impress anyone, and we don't have to be embarrassed about anything that we say or do, because it's just between us and God. There's no customary practice. There are no rules that you have to follow. Your worship can be different from anyone else's, or it can be like everyone you know. It's totally up to you. The point is that we need to have the reading of Scripture in our daily worship. And we want to see why that's done. At other times, each day, we read the Bible. And one of the things we have to realize is that being a Christian takes time. It isn't just 1 hour a week. And we go to the assembly, or 2 hours. We go to the assembly and then go through some rituals and then go home. That's not Christianity. Christianity is developing a relationship with God. We have times of the day when we have set aside to read the Scriptures. And those, we do that, we read slowly and deliberately, reading for comprehension. One doesn't read the Bible the same way he would read a novel. We learn to become, every time we read through the Scriptures, we become more and more familiar with the context and the flow of how God is presenting himself in the Scriptures. When we first start off, we start reading about historical events that happened with Israel and stuff, and we get distracted by the historical events. What God is teaching us is how he interacts with us during these times of sin or times of struggle, and how he responds. We see that he's patient to a point, and he's patient, and he's patient, and he's patient, but when his patience is over, he'll send a plague. Well, we may not have I guess we do have our own plague right now. But God has a way of getting through. So we use our Bible reading to learn about God, because that's really the only way that God reveals himself to us. And we can get somebody else's impression of God by listening to lessons that they teach. But God presents himself in the Scripture, and he doesn't do it any other way. And so we have times when we read, and we have times when we study. And the study that we do is for the point of finding out what is the message that God has for us. In a lot of modern society, you have these groups that say, well, what does that mean to you? And we go through and read the Scriptures, and what does that mean to you? Well, that's, trying to think of a diplomatic way of saying that, it presents the possibility that there's more than one truth, because what it means to you and what it means to me might be different things, and so that'd be two different truths. Well, there isn't two different truths. There's only one. And so when we study, we're looking, trying to find out what God is communicating to us, not what that means to me. And so we find out what is the message that God has sent to man. And that's why the Apostle Paul was praying for the Philippian church. He said, "And this I pray, that your love may abound more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ." He says, I want you to develop real knowledge. Now, people think they have knowledge when they don't really have the knowledge they think they have. And he says, I want you to develop the real knowledge. I want you to know exactly what God means by what he's saying, and to be able to discern it, because that's the only way we're able to tell right from wrong. And so Jesus said, when he was being tempted by Satan, that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so we need to have every word that comes from God. But one of the most valuable things about reading, and reading, the readings that we have in our personal worship are generally short, and we want to focus on one thing. The reading in the personal worship, for me personally, I like to start it off and do it early in the day, because if I do it early in the day, it affects my mood all day long. And if I start off positive, then I'll be going forward in a more positive way that will cause me to be more productive during that day. The reading in a personal worship should support the theme of the worship. The personal worship, to be successful, to be meaningful to you, and to be meaningful to God, is something that we put a little bit of thought and a little bit of planning into it. We don't just sit down and say, well, what do I say to you today, God? No, that's not the way it works. We select something. And I very often in my devotions will pick a verse from something I've recently read, because it's fresh on my mind. But I like to use the Psalms. We've been studying the Psalms on our Bible class time, and it is really profitable to us. Just as an example, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 says, "Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." And so in our personal worship, we would be centered around the holiness of God. But then that's like putting a bullet in the gun, because that's something that we can take with us all day long in our meditations. And as we meditate on it, then we develop it in our own mind, and it becomes something that becomes more practical for us to use. I don't advocate it, but I always carried these little cards, 3x5 cards with a verse on it. And when I'd be in my deer stand, or I'd be out in my fishing boat, I had a tendency to pull that card out, and I'd be reading on that card, and that would be part of my meditation time. And I've missed a deer or two doing that, but I think I gained more than I would have if I'd gotten a deer. So, what did we learn from this morning? Reading in our personal worship is different. It's different from our public reading, it's different from our daily reading, and it's different from Bible study. Daily worship expresses one's heart to God. It's one-on-one time with God. It's a relationship-building time with God. It's a time when we learn to feel more comfortable talking to God and more comfortable talking about God. And that's key to developing evangelistic skills. God wants us to meet Him where we are. God's always with us. But on the times of our personal worship in the day, God has our undivided attention, and we should be able to use that to our benefit and to His glory. And there's no social pressure whenever you are in your personal worship. You don't have to worry about someone not liking the way you said something, or you don't have to get all dressed up. You don't have to follow any kind of customs or rules. It's a time when people could just draw close to God without any kind of pressure. We read the Bible all the time, many times during the day. But when we have our devotional time, that's the time to load our mind for our meditations for the day. And that's the main reason it's important to have a short Bible reading whenever we have our daily worship. Daily worship is fundamental to our spiritual development. But our spirit can't develop until we're in Christ. And we are added to Christ by expressing our faith in Him, by committing ourselves to follow Him and to turn away from sin, and by reenacting His death, burial, and resurrection, having our old man of sin buried in the grave of baptism and being cleansed by the blood of Christ. We rise up a new creature, ready to serve Him daily. If there's any way that we can assist you in your obedience to Christ, we invite you to come forward while we stand and as we sing.